14 years ago, I don't think we even have a sermon recording on this. This was a time that our church was just the beginning, and many of handful of us back then, and if you remember, David Lee was the one who was traveling back and forth from East Coast because of his job, and he insists that we would have sermon available on site, at least a PowerPoint. So without the sermon audio, with David's initiative, this is the first series that was on our website and sermon PowerPoint series. And I was reluctantly said yes to David. So we just wanted to be very organic community, off the road, rather than trying to do the same thing that many other consumer-oriented churches doing. But to my surprise, I was reminded what David said was really right. This resource is being shared by many when you're online. 1 week I missed, I think some kind of technical problem. One Sunday we didn't, after that sermon, the sermon PowerPoint was not uploaded. And I got about 3 emails from same person who's doing Bible study through our sermon PowerPoint series. We really need it. This has been so good. So I repented. And it begins with such a delight. So let me do for all of us, and especially for those of you who weren't here last week, a quick recap, an overview of Songs of Ascent. If you look through your Bible, Psalm 120 and Psalm 121 all the way to Psalm 134 has a superscription title that says Song of Ascents. These are 15 psalms tucked in the Psalter, treasures for us. And oftentimes this is known as a traveler's psalms because it was for Hebrew pilgrims on the road ascending to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in Mount Zion. So it was a fortress city that as people are defending that Jerusalem was that advantageous for the people who are defending the city because it's a higher ground. But hence the reason why this is sometimes referred to it as a songs of steps, a songs of degrees in other Bibles translation, or simply pilgrim songs. And within that 15 songs, 15 psalms, there is an interesting design. Our lives are not full of just the sunshine and rosy days, but sometimes a stormy, very uncomfortable weather comes and heated sun and sometimes troublesome days as well. And such is really the pilgrimage of a Christ follower, any believer in Christ. So there is a triad. The first one always begins with trouble, and the second one, trust, and third triad concludes with triumph. And John Phillips uses that. And others will say ABC, affliction, believing, and consolation. But I like John Phillips' way of looking at it. Easier to remember. So we're going to use that. Trouble, trust, and triumph. We are on the second of the first triad. Last week, Psalm 120, starting with a U-turn, was a trouble. Trouble The psalmist is living in hostile world of unbelievers, full of lies against him, slander against him, and full of lies to him to lure him to believe in the lies. And today, we see the turning of the psalm of trust. The theme-wise is a trusting in God's providence, what God is doing. And this is very encouraging psalm, especially in light of our church situation. And then next Sunday, we will look at Psalm 122, which is triumph, and the pilgrim arrives in Jerusalem and gathering to worship God. Obviously, 15 Psalms, we can't get to it. Before, as you know, I'm planning for a sabbatical. Because of the site search and whatnot, that's stability-wise, I'm thinking September 18th will be the first Sunday, my first day. So September 17th, I will be here. But during the September, I will just merely come in. The planned speakers each Sunday will come. We'll hopefully by then, 27th of August, we will be at our new worship site. But we will be able actually doing on two triad up to one Psalm 125. Let's begin with reading of God's word in Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Did you notice this song is intentionally designed like response? The verse 1 and 2 is the first stanza. A solo, it sounds like I lift up, personal. From where does my help come from? And then verse 2 and 3 is seemingly some other group. And even the family, imagining family, some of the family members will sing that part. And 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 is actually, it sounds like benediction, blessings. This is one of the most popular psalms in the Psalter, but in it, one of the most often misunderstood psalms. Why? Because it has to do with looking up to the hills. From where does my help come? And typical person, it's like, oh, I go to the mountain. When I hike, I look up to the mountain, and there, my help comes from the mountain, God. And actually, if you pay attention to today's psalm, the hills or mountains are not part of solution, but part of the troubles in his life, in the psalmist, pilgrim's person's life. Why? Back in those days, in the Old Testament days, the hills were presented four potential harms to Hebrew pilgrims. Three times a year, the festival of Passover, festival of Pentecost, and tabernacle, spring, summer, and fall, so during the autumn. The all kinds of families, if they are really want to be part of God's family, the people of God, Israelites, will gather in Jerusalem, in the temple, and then the whole week of festival will be going on, or worshiping the Lord together. And the way to get to the Jerusalem, once again, it's part of climbing up to the hill. And then four potentials in the mountains or hills is foot slip because of steep climb or slippery roads, sunstroke, and even to these days we feel that if you stand in the middle of the sun in a hot day in sunny California, you feel the heat. And sometimes dehydration happens, sometimes it's very dangerous. In the sun, during the pilgrimage, sunstroke can happen. Moonstroke, exposure to anxiety and fatigue, and by night, and sometimes when you hear the lunatic, the old language, the lunar, meaning when moon comes up, full moon comes up, all kinds of weird things happen and you're weary and crazy things happen and fear takes over. You see strange things in front of you. And then fourthly, thieves and bandits. Because they know they are traveling toward Jerusalem, the pockets of unseen behind the trees were bandits and thieves. In light of that, life of faith, our Christian pilgrimage, has a parallel. It does not exempt us from difficulties and challenges in life. In other words, the hills are common. Each of us face some type of hills today. And if not today, next week and the following weeks. Problems, just because you believe in God, do not go away. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. It's not even you may have trouble. Count on it. You will have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So in your own heart, and as you kind of pull back and look at the bird's eye, from the bird's eye view of your life and your Christian pilgrimage, think about the things that is coming up, threatens you, potentially danger you, and even lure you in the wrong path. That is real. So a question to remember when we face hills is this particular question that Psalmist is asking. Where does my help come from? This question is not for someone else. This is a rhetorical question, obviously. But we need to ask our own heart. Because when we do not ask our own heart, unknowingly, subconsciously, we could seek to, we could look to other places, wrong people, wrong soldiers for help other than God. So that's why the two coins of the danger is, one is threats and danger, physical harm, but also a spiritual harm also too. But actually, it is lures and lies. Old Testament context in Jeremiah 3, verse 23, gives us a glimpse of what those lures could be. Truly, the hills are a delusion. The orgies, yes, sexual orgies, are on the mountains. Truly, in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. In a primitive world, all the pagan idols were in the higher ground. And one of the forms of the idol worship was having sexual orgies with priestess and priest. What kind of mentality would that be? We cannot really relate. But that is somehow there is a hope. If you do this, misfortune will miss you. You will be able to walk through a peace. People really believe that. So they will go up and, you know, bow down to idols, and they will, whatever they wish. So oftentimes, the hills are known for shrines of idol worship and the orgies for fearful travelers. But nevertheless, this psalmist makes a decisive declaration, isn't it? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and hills and mountains. Even in our lives, we may not bow down to idols, but we will seek help from all the wrong places. If we do not decisively seek God's, look to God for help, sometimes it's a positive mental attitude and self-help books. Sometimes we look to practical advices and quick fixes. Sometimes we look to people, friends, spouse, and people in authority, people who are wealthy, influence. As you probably know, you've done this before. Last Saturday, we basically, my son's car was parked on outside in the middle of the wee hours night, I think 3:30 in the 4 kind of the morning. Somebody hit the car and took off. And then it's a strange thing, it was his car was parked on driveway of my neighbor. And then my neighbor, basically, elderly gentleman, really nice gentleman, walked up and he said, I don't know why it's here. The only thing he said, 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a loud noises outside, so I called the police. So we are trying to figure that out. But when things like that happen, my mind just races in 1,000 ways. this is very quiet neighborhood. The security cameras should be everywhere and looking for that. And the police came that day. And I'm trying to look for some kind of police report so that we could claim our insurance. And, to make a long story short, what does it mean for me to look to God for help? It doesn't come easily at times. Because quick fix is, we need another car. I mean, this past week, I had to come home several times because of a shortage of our car. As Silas has to go to work, and Soren has to go to work, and internship, and Sawyer has to go to play volleyball and fun, all kinds of different things. Eugene Peterson, as I promised, I'm going to have a quote from his book on Song of Ascent titled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. He writes, "The great danger of Christian discipleship is that we should have two religions, a glorious biblical Sunday gospel that sets us free from the world that is in the cross and the resurrection of Christ that makes eternity alive in us, a magnificent gospel of Genesis and Romans and Revelation, and then an everyday religion that we make do with during the week between the time of leaving the world and arriving in heaven. We save the Sunday gospel for the big crises of existence. For the mundane trivialities, we use the everyday religion of the Reader's Digest reprint, advice from a friend on Ann Landers' column, the huckster's wisdom of a talk show celebrity. We practice patent medicine religion. We know that God created the universe and has accomplished our eternal salvation, but we can't believe that He condescends to watch the soap opera of our daily trials and tribulations. So we purchase our own remedies for that, to ask Him to deal with what troubles us each day. It's like asking a famous surgeon to put iodine on a scratch. So now, brothers and sisters, the psalm comes so close to us. It's not some kind of a theological, spiritual elsewhere, some kind of hypothetical situation in the future. But every day when our car breakdowns, when one of our children has health issues, when our loved ones pass away, what do we do? Do we look to God for help? The following verses are full of this word, the key descriptive word for God in Psalm 121, in the Hebrew word, is shamar. Shamar simply means to watch over with great care. And in this psalm, there's six times same word replaced by the English translation, by English Bible's words, use keep, guard, or protect. The repetition of this word is obviously to emphasize why we ought to look for God's help. So for the fun of it, I think Robert Morgan's help was very helpful for me to see that visually. And if we insert this original Hebrew word, shamar, in this psalm, verses 3 through 8, it looks like this. He will not let your foot be moved. He who shamars, you will not. He who shamars you will not slumber. Behold, he who shamars Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your shamarer. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will shamar you from all evil. He will shamar your life. The Lord will shamar your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. As if we are our child. A daddy and mommy is repeating the same thing over and over. So, something obvious, but I think we should remind ourselves. So this is why look to God for help. Number one, because God watches over us with his unending attentiveness. Verses 3 and 4, he will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel, entity, he who keeps Christ followers, the church, and now individually applying, will neither slumber nor sleep for each one of you. Unending attentiveness means God watches over us 24/7 nonstop. He watches over our steps on steep, slippery climbs, figuratively speaking. When it's difficult, the common pitfalls in there, he will keep our foot from slipping. And the psalmist reminds us, the God of Israel needs no sleep. He never tires. He's not like us. He never loses his attentiveness, even when to us he appears to be. And by this time, if we are honest, this question will pop up in our head. But I get into this trouble. I think I slipped. Well, hit and run happened to my son's car. So we have no car and we cannot claim, because that's only one car of our five cars. Liability insurance. Because the 98 Camry is really old. Somebody gave it to us. But we need the car. But it happened. Oh, one of my sons, one of my daughters, really pretty sick. They're diagnosed with this strange disease. I'm still grieving a loss of my loved ones. My mom, or my dad, or my uncle, my aunt. Things happen, isn't it? So we need to know what it means to trust in the Lord in trouble. And A.W. Tozer has a very helpful book on Appointed Way. He guides us in an appointed way. He has several essays in that. And this quote is from that book. Tozer writes, which helps us, to the child of God, there is no such a thing as accident. He travels on appointed way. Accidents may indeed appear to befall him, and misfortune stalk his way. But these evils will be so in appearance only, and will seem evils only, because we cannot read the secret script of God's hidden providence, so cannot discover the ends at which he aims. So look to God's help. He's with unending attentiveness. He watches over your life. And that doesn't mean your car will not crash, the sickness will not come to your family. The misfortune will sometimes run into you. But in the middle of it all, he keeps you in his providential care. He watches over you. Second reason why I look to God for help is this. God watches over us with his unfailing care. Verse 5 and 6, the Lord is your keeper. We don't usually use those words, right? To your son and to your daughter, I am your keeper. It sounds a little negative. No, I am your protector. I will protect you no matter what happens in your life. We have a willingness. But we may not be able to. His unfailing care, he's not only attentive, he's capable of doing that. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. When I read this, your shade on your right hand, I think about my son Seth when he was about 2 years old or 3 years old. Now he's in, UC Davis. Whenever we go somewhere, travel for a long time, and then he's obviously in the car seat, and the sunbeam will just go through his eyes. But a normal child, I thought, it was a hilarious thing that I was watching was, he doesn't just go like this. He's just, as if he's mad, go away or something, right? Sun will have that kind of effect on us, even adults, if we're really honest. When God becomes our shade, he is not only protecting us, he provides a refreshment, relief, renewal. So when you find a shade on the tree during the winter, during the summertime, hot summertime, isn't that so good? And there's a little breeze coming too. The idea is God watches over us as his beloved children, calling us his own. He is our keeper. Yahweh Shamar. He watches over our every need so closely, protecting us shielding us from any harm. His watch care for us has no exception. Even though we may be threatened by harsh realities of life trials. Do you believe this? In your heart, do you look to God for help? Isaiah 41 verse 8 through 10, that God's providence is very mysterious, isn't it? This verse popped into my head because God has used this to shield me, to become my shade. First time this happened when I was 13 years old. I grew up in church, but never really fully understand that my faith is my faith rather than my mom's faith. But this was the first time I had a personal encounter with Jesus. And all of a sudden, all the things that I'm experiencing the typical junior high kid. And I was one of those early maturing adolescents who's athletic. Too much temptation because I was in martial arts and I got into fight a lot. As a Christian, I need to stop. I wanted to stop. I was fearful. How am I going to live my life like this? And I didn't know my Bible that well, but I thumbing through it in desperation for seeking God's help. This virus came to me. Decades later, some of you guys know this story. About 16, 17 years ago, when I resigned from a large church and took the free fall, this verse guided me in the middle of night, 3:30 in the morning. Same verse. That's why I call it free fall. Take the free fall, I'll catch you. Isaiah 41 verse 8 through 10. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you, with my righteous right hand. This particular verse can be applied to any of us who's in Christ by grace, not because of our merit. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be a pastor to consider this as applicable to you. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, every single one of us are chosen as elect. God's elect for us. With full richness of God's grace. And he says and whispers same thing to each one of us. Still yet the choice. So will we trust and look to God for on his unfailing love? Third and last reason why look to God for help is God watches over us with his unlimited power. Verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all evil. Once again, think about the A.W. Tozer's quote and providence. Not the bad things are missing us, but even in that, all evil, we're protected from that. He will keep your life The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. This is a sweeping blessing, benediction for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. Intimate relationship with the Lord. So Crossway Church, we have a trouble. The hill is big. We don't have a worship site. We don't know where to go. Our giving went down, deeping down past 2 months. Our resources are limited. The season of our church is very shakable. And I ask my question, can I even take sabbatical in this time of just troubled time for us? And God says, haven't I provided Crossway Church from vanishing because of Santa Ana changed the zoning law? Do you guys remember that? Some of you guys. Haven't I given you 4 years of rent-free at Olive Crest training room because of their willingness and eagerness to help to have church start in their training rooms? Ed Becker, who's CFO, is a devout Christian, encouraged us. Haven't I given you the place to worship in the suite and suite 103? And then about 3 years later, 2-3 years later, our attendance was growing, so we expanded at double the size of that. And we were about to go into long-term site because we had enough money on bank account, because our growing congregation was giving, was healthy. Yoba Middle School, supposed to be 1 year short-term site, and pandemic hit, and everything changed. And then the really one of the deepest, I should say darkest hills happened to our church season. But does he have an unlimited power? Was he bigger than city of Santa Ana? Yes. Was he bigger than any of our problems? Yes. Does he own entire universe on this earth? Can he provide a little small place for our worship? Yes. The secret script that Edward Tozer mentioned about his God's providence, his sovereign and purposeful wisdom in that we cannot see yet. But the simple thing, childlike thing we could do along with the psalmist is trust in the Lord together. He will keep us from all evil. There's no limit on degrees of evil. He will keep us from all our activities and no limit on kinds of activities. He will keep us in all time, no limit on time. And what's the promise? Not that all the misfortune will miss us, that we'll be able to avoid them, but the promise is that Lord's watch care, shamar, will keep us in his providential goodness as his own. I want to encourage you, each one of you, as you're hearing this, the application obviously twofold. As a people of God and church that you belong to, those of you called as still committed to Crossway as your home church, we ought to look to God for help together. Moreover, in your personal life, do not disregard my problem is too little or my problem is too technical and God will not be able to or interested in. We need to look to God every day. One of the goals that I mentioned last week through this mini-series within the series is that we are going to pray each psalm each week. So I pray this coming week that you will stay on Psalm 121, the reading it over and over, and make this as your prayer. And that we're using Eugene Peterson's paraphrase because it's much more daily language and helps us. So let's conclude with this. I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No, my strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains. He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep. Not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep. God's your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for this reassurance. And thank you for this timely provision of your word and guidance. That you are calling us, invoking us to trust in your sovereign providence, in your goodness for us. And forgive us when we look to wrong places for help. And we turn to you now and look to you. We pray boldly that you will provide a worship site. And we also pray that you will be answer to many of our troubles, the hills that we face in our individual lives and families. We're so grateful for you and your promise. In Jesus' name, amen.